Dear friends, I thank God for His wonderful mercies and grace brought me here to worship Him this morning. I bring greetings from Metropolitan Church, also from Uyiruli residents, and we thank you for your wonderful prayers and support being rendered all these years, right from 2002. And I don't know how many ministries are supported that way for a long time. And you all are aware that it's a ministry which is carrying the elderly destitute, and it's been a permanent home set up in Chennai. And by God's grace, the church is at the back of the ministry. And our people are praying for the ministry. And many churches here in UK are praying and supporting. So in all these years, though we had met many troubles and different things, but God has been so faithful in sustaining the ministry safely. And I would like to bring God's word from Matthew chapter 25. Verses 31 onwards. I have given a topic here to our messages. We are His workmanship. We are His workmanship. One of the musicians was asked in an interview. He was asked like this: what is the highest expectation you have been looking for in your lifetime? To many of our surprise, he said, I am looking for Christ's second coming. Basically, he's a Muslim. But how much more we have to look for, expect Christ's second coming in glory. And that would be the highest expectation in our own hearts, looking high above when the Lord comes, when He is going to come. So Christ's coming in glory is going to be public. It is not going to be done somewhere which people would not know. No, it's going to be in public. And it's very clear, even in this passage and in many other passage. And we read like this in chapter 25, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. Glory is mentioned here two times. The glory that's going to appear vividly to all men, and it is not going to be hidden from the eyes of men. Continuously, if we can read some of the other Bible verses, will be very helpful for us to know very clearly how He is going to come in glory publicly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 onwards. We read this: for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. In verse 17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. In Acts chapter 1 verse 11, when Christ was taking up, he was going into heaven after resurrection, as ascension. In verse 11, we read this: who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw Him going into heaven. Revelation chapter 1 verse 7. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him. Even they who pierced him. So all will see his coming in glory. The first time when he came to earth, he came as a lamb. He was so silent even before the men who oppressed him. And he was very meek, coming on a donkey, though he was a king. So humble. And he gave himself even to the people who crushed him. He died on the cross. But he rose up again on the third day. Death could not hold him. But in the second coming, he is going to come like a king. And he is going to come as a judge who will judge the whole world. So, to that incident, a great incident, we ought to make ourselves ready from in every angle. And we are, as Christians, trying to make ourselves into the likeness of Christ so that when he comes, he will welcome us and he will be proud of us and he will declare publicly that we are his children. So our character gets changed into the likeness of Christ all the time by the Spirit of the Lord. Even Paul says our inner man gets anew every day, day by day, but our outer man goes off. So while he was on earth, he was giving us a wonderful, vivid picture about the judgment going to happen. The Lord has not hidden anything from us. He tells us very clearly what's going to happen so that we could shape up ourselves to that. Sometimes we can say that if we could come to know what's going to happen, I would do accordingly. That's why Christ is giving us very good picture so that we can work on that, shaping ourselves and correcting ourselves into the likeness of Christ. Here we read in verse 32, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Here, the people were separated into two sides. It says sheep and goats. But when we read this further, we could see very clearly they are not separated according to rich and poor. It's not, they are not separated like kings and queens and authorities are on one side and the citizens are on another side. Not that way. In many other places, we see two kinds of people, you know, it's compared to different two things. Like sheep and goats here, wheat and tares we read in Matthew's Gospel 13. Wheat and tares. Even in Matthew's Gospel chapter 7, we read house built on the rock and a house built on sand. Two kinds. The final verdict of a judge decides the fate of a person's life. Everything is said before the foundation of the world, but here comes the declaration and the final verdict, and it's going to happen accordingly. A Christian is honored for his faith in Christ that judged him as righteous before God. Here God calls them in verse 34, Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And Christian can take courage in Christ that he has a place in the kingdom of God. He has a mansion. He has a place which Christ himself built for us. This particular verse, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And it's been a process of building kingdom. God created everything, all in 6 days. Isn't it? But the mansions being prepared, we are not sure whether it is completed. Because Christ himself says in John's Gospel, chapter 14, John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would here told you, I go to prepare a place for you. In verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Take heed, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. When a man is saved by his faith in Christ, is justified as righteous and reckoned as his heirs eternity. The moment he is saved, he becomes new creation and also handwork of God to the purpose of his will and for his glory. The imputed righteousness surely will bear fruit in itself. There is no barren righteousness as such in our life. And we are given here a very good opportunity to follow Christ, taking up our cross every day, learn from him to complete his will, to work on his will. Hence the word of God comes into our Christian's life in and through him. And the gospel is seen by people around us. And we become the Bible so that through us people can read who God is. The gospel is seen by the people. It is the light that shines in darkness, and the gospel is put in action. If our words are not in action, if they are only theoretical, people will say of us as hypocrites. Even Jesus says in Matthew's Gospel chapter 7, verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. In verse 21, we read how the Lord encounters the people who were not fit enough to enter into his kingdom. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So the faith is put in action. When we come to the parable of the talents just before this passage in Matthew chapter 25, the servant with one talent buried the talent and did nothing, so he was cast into utter darkness. We are saved and justified by faith with a purpose that is to be like a city on a hill, like Christ, and like a candle on a candlestick. Christ said in Matthew's Gospel chapter 5 verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we are not saved by any good work. At the same time, we can say very clearly, we are not saved by any good work. Not because we might be having wearily a home for the elderly destitute, but it doesn't mean the people who are there carrying the elderly might go into heaven. No way. We are not saved by any good work. We are saved only by the grace of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ and by faith in Him. But we are saved to do good works as His workmanship. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, we read, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them." So, we really could be because of Christ saved me and it has become His workmanship. The list of good works here we read in chapter Matthew's Gospel chapter 25 from 35 onwards. "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." The list here is a kind of list and work done by people who were on the right side. The good work seemed to be very simple, isn't it? I could give a person a cup of water, a cup of tea. I can give a person a food. I can even visit a person if he is in a prison. If my own kith and kin is in a prison, wouldn't I go and meet him, visit him? The kind of works here could be done by anybody at any time, whenever he sees the need. But here we see the people who are on the left did not do such things. The reason I see here is why they did not do such good works is because they did not know Christ. It is not that somebody, even Hindus, are very good at, you know, in doing some of the social work. And we see Muslims doing some of the good social work. Very good. Comparatively, sometimes we may not have done such good works. What does it mean here? It is not just about giving food, drink, and so on. There might be so many other things to do which are not just listed in the list, but they are the kinds. These are the kinds of good works that you can do, and it could get listed more by the Lord in the days to come. On the day. We cannot say that day, "Lord, it is not in the list you have mentioned in Matthew's Gospel 25. If you would have mentioned in it, I would have done it." No, we can't say that. There could be many more in the list. The saving faith would help us to understand the needs around, which could be for eternity, even for this one, just for the needs of this earth. And we see people who are in need and we work on it as a church. The church is explicitly shown as Christ's model and Christ's own image in every action that does. So the caution is given here. The godless people who stood against the will of God were cursed by God and sent into everlasting fire. So we ought to be, what it says, we ought to be action-oriented Christian. We cannot say any reason which are not acceptable to the Lord. So we should know basically whom we worship, to whom we pray. Do we know Christ? Do we know His will? Christ has said in John's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 4, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night coming when no man can work. The night here is the day of the Lord. Very clearly it was declared in the minor prophets, the day of the Lord. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how the Lord did. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So the model is set before us. The expectation is listed here. And we are His people. And we are going to inherit the kingdom of God as His own heirs. And let's put ourselves into action doing God's will, so that the gospel might be shining before the eyes of the people. And that will make them to be more guilty if they have not come to know the Lord. And that would help them to understand on the day of the Lord that this was the reason Christ is judging that way. So may the Lord bless each and every one of us, that we may work hard and harder for the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, we read this way, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. In some other versions, it says, keep busy always in the work for the Lord. Keep busy always in the work for the Lord. So every day do we have things to do? We do have a lot of things to do within our own family and in our responsibilities around the work that we do. But are there the good works listed in our things to do? Keep busy always in the work for the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. May the Lord help us to work more, get encouraged, and because our labor is not in vain. May the Lord bless each and every one of us. God bless you. Thank you.